week we have a special treat. Sherry and I are going away for a short vacation. We're going to Crescent City and kind of getting away for a couple days, so we will not be here next Sunday, so P.K. Hallinan will be here to preach for us. I enjoy P.K., loves the Lord, and enjoy his messages, so he will be here. Our worship team will be here, but P.K. will be preaching. Sherry and I will be off to the coast, and hopefully we'll have some good weather, but we're looking forward to just getting away. Sherry has a couple weeks off from work, and so we're taking advantage of that, so we're looking forward to that. So that will be going on next week. Thursday, just a reminder, if you are free to come and pray with our high school kids around a quarter to noon, great time just to gather around the kids and pray for them. We'll be mailing out just the prayer pictures, and you'll be getting that this week. Those of you that signed up to pray for those kids, never underestimate the power of prayer. I never underestimate that. There's so many times when God has moved and protected us or provided or did whatever needed to happen, and I know it's because you were back here praying. This is the unglamorous part of it, but it's the necessary part, is the foundation, so I encourage you to do that. Well, we're going to continue on in our series, the What Now series, so you can pull out, there's a little insert there in your bulletin. And as we continue in our series, we're going to, today is the sixth and final one, but probably in 2 weeks, I want to just kind of do an overview and a wrap-up of that, and just be reminded of what are the things that God wants us to do during this time of transition, this time of seeking the Lord. You know, God's Word is so relevant to us. In light of the events that are taking place in our world, the context of Psalm 37 is that what do you do when evil seems to be flourishing? What do you do when the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous just seem to be ground into the ground? You know, what do you do? And as you look, if you were to look at some of the events taking place, the headlines in the news, you witness things going on in our world that are so evil, so wicked. Whether it's the willful destruction of human life, or just as you hear it all the time, the constant personal attacks and character assassination in politics, or the disturbing anti-Semitic, anti-racial rhetoric and things going on in our world, the abundance of just lies and false information, the calling of evil good and evil being good being seen as evil. And if you watch any news at all, which I'm trying not to as much anymore, you easily come to the conclusion that wickedness and evil is prospering. And that's also what sells news. But we have been addressing the question, how do we, as Jesus followers, how do we live out our faith? When, in the words of the psalmist, when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. What do you do when the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them? What do you do when the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright? What do you do in order to keep from being disheartened and discouraged in your faith by these chain of events that are taking place in our world, in our community? David in Psalm 37 had the answer, and I want us to turn there yet once again. Are you getting tired of Psalm 37? I am not. It is like, whoa, I just drink this up every week. I want to read it one more time. So turn to Psalm 37, and I want to read this little section. And if we could grasp these six truths, you and I will flourish. We'll be okay. We'll be fine with our great God. So let's read Psalm 37 again. I just love it. Listen to it. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So, in the last few weeks, we've been reminded of what do we do? What is God calling us to do in this season for us of transition, a time of waiting? He says, one, do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And today we come to the sixth one, and it is one of the most difficult things to do. And it says, this is what we're to do. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Think about that phrase. It's a command. And it's saying, be still before the Lord. Still means to stop, to cease, to be silent, to be quiet. In our Good News Club, we had 30 kids come again this week, and they're just full of energy, and we walk across the street, and it's after school, and you know they've got all that pent-up energy, and they're just coming, and we walk orderly as much as we can across the street, come into the building at Bible Foundation Fellowship, and they all sit in the pews, they take their backpacks off, and it is a cacophony of noise. Energy. It's like it went from quiet to just boom, an explosion of energy. And the kids are all excited, and they're coming in, and so I have this little clap that we do to kind of get their attention. And Rich knows it, because that is the sign to be still, look up, and listen up. Thank you, Lucy. It does not always work. So then I go to my bell, and I ring the little cowbell, and that is also to do the same thing. The psalmist David is saying, when the wicked seem to be winning, when you are wrongly attacked, when you find yourself beginning to react in anger at the injustice, make sure that you get into the presence of Yahweh, the Lord, and hush your spirit. Stop, look, and listen. Psalm 62 expresses it, what it is to be still before the Lord. Listen to Psalm 62. It's like the psalmist is speaking to himself. And he says, my soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge to us. To be still before the Lord is to turn off the noise, to get rid of the distractions, and get your mind and your heart into the presence of the Lord where you can sit at His feet to listen. It involves pouring out your heart to God, as the psalmist in Psalm 62 says. It involves remembering that God alone is your rock, your fortress, your refuge, your deliverer. You reaffirm your trust in Him, and then you wait quietly before the Lord and let Him speak to you. That is what it means to be still before the Lord. The second part of that psalm adds this. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. To wait patiently for Him means to stop worrying and fretting, because we're told at the end of that verse, don't fret when the evil person succeeds, when they carry out their evil schemes. The alternative to being still and waiting on the Lord is to go ahead and fret and worry and to be upset. And what he's saying is, waiting means we're to move out of the way. We're to stop relying on ourselves, stop relying on our plans, our own schemes, our own efforts. And he wants us to be willing to accept what God wants to do, when he wants to do it. Even though we cannot see the whole picture before us, whatever situation we're in, God is saying, just wait. Let me move. Let me act in my timing and how I want to do it. Waiting is really tied in to trust. If we're not good at waiting on the Lord, we're not good at trusting the Lord, because they go hand in hand. We trust God is good. We trust He will do what is best. We trust that He is in control. But waiting doesn't mean that we know how God will work or the way in which He will work. Waiting patiently means we will confidently look to and expect God to work. The one who waits on the Lord lives and believes, Romans 8:28. And what does Romans 8:28 say? It says, and we know that in a few things. Some of you are shaking your heads. No, that's not what it says, does it? It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. I love that. And we know that in all things, God works for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. I went to my doctor the other day, had my checkup, and I was pleased to hear that my cancer is still gone. My PSA was zero. For those of you that have had prostate cancer, you know what I'm talking about. For everybody else, you're going, I have no clue what you're talking about. Doesn't matter. 5.5 years, no cancer. Praise God, you know. But you know what? God could choose to have given me cancer and had it spread and have to go through what some of people in our church are going through, like Mark Erskine. But during that time, and before that, in December, I don't know if you remember, but it was in December. We had just gone over the hill, and we'd done the Newell trip, and I'd driven. It was a pretty intense trip because it was icy and snowy out there, and I was pretty focused. And I don't know if this is the reason or not, but I had a blood clot, and I woke up the next day thinking, did I separate my shoulder? And, you know, you always, you know, have the wrong idea what's going on. You're in denial, and I was typical. And we went to the hospital, and I found out that I had blood clots in my lung, and I was about this close from going home to be with the Lord. And that was quite an ordeal, and I missed several weeks of church, and I was kind of priding myself in the fact that I just never miss church, you know. I just always show up, you know. But I missed, and I wasn't able to be here. And then some other things happened, got clogged up, and they said, you need to go check out some things. And I found out in the course of time after that, the next month, I found out, okay, now you have cancer. So you're the blood clot man and you're the cancer man. It was in the course of that time that I had to make a choice. Will I be still before the Lord? And will I wait patiently on the Lord? Or will I just try to figure it all out and just fret and worry and all that? And there's a choice to be made. When we're going through those times, we have to choose. Will I wait patiently on the Lord? And one of the things that the Lord taught me was that, Dwayne, during this time is when I can do a lot of work in you and on you. And so I want you to remember that I am in control. I am your God. I am a good God. I am a personal God. And I have work for you, and the work will be convalescing. But as you convalesce and as you go through this, I'm going to be doing some work in your heart that needs to be done. And so I want you to trust me. So God tells us to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I want to make some observations, and they're in your notes there, about being still before the Lord and waiting patiently on Him. And the first observation is this. We're not very good at this. I can say that from personal experience. It's hard to be still before the Lord. We have become so addicted to noise and constant chatter and activity. We are constantly bombarded with news and comments and ads and music and this and that and the other thing. It was funny, even this morning as I'm praying in my office, and I'm just starting to say, Lord, I just long for us to be still before you. And my text just starts ringing on my phone. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. It's hard to be still before the Lord. When our kids go to Mexico, we always have them take off their no cell phones, no electronics. And we just at the border, once you hit the border, you don't have it anymore. And it does wonders for interpersonal relationships. It does wonders for being able to listen to God and experience the Lord. Because there aren't those distractions. And we're able to slow down in some ways and be still before the Lord. But we don't know how to be still before the Lord. Not only that, but we don't live in a culture that listens very well. When I'm doing my Good News Club, I'm amazed at how many times we're up there talking, and one of the up rules is sit up, look up, listen up, listen up, and how hard it is for us to listen up to someone else. And it's not a kid problem either. It's an adult problem. My wife reminds me all the time, Dwayne, would you just stop and let me finish my sentence? And listen. And have you been in meetings where you're interacting in a meeting and it's like someone starts to say something and someone interjects over here and then these two people are talking off the side over here and pretty soon you don't even hear what this person said. And certainly in our culture, if you go on news and you watch these people and they bring people on and they just talk over each other, there is no desire to say, let's listen and let's hear what you have to say and could we have a dialogue on that? We don't listen well in our culture. We don't value listening. We interrupt one another. But we also don't wait patiently. And we all say, I struggle with patience. We live in a hurry-up world where we expect everything right now. And in this hurry-up world, waiting for anything can seem to cause us annoyance and anger and irritation, can it not? No one enjoys waiting in line. Nobody enjoys waiting at the stoplight. Nobody enjoys waiting for dinner. Even good things for the fish to bite. Derek and Don, I just did that for you guys. Dave, you too, okay? Just saying. Okay? We want it, and we want it right now. You know, it's so funny. This morning, I picked up a couple of gals come to Sunday school, and I picked up Brandon, and we're driving through town. There's this car just stopped right down by the plaza, and these cars just lining up behind them. I'm way back here, and I'm going, what's the deal? Well, there was a bunch of people here, and the guy wanted to turn, and so we're just stacked up, and automatically I'm just getting a little like, well, what's the deal? Come on, let's go. We're so impatient. It's hard for us to wait, let alone wait on the Lord. Another observation is this. During a season of waiting, you and I may feel somewhat lost, discouraged, unmotivated, even irritated with the Lord. And we're tempted to complain when we have to wait on God. The Israelites, when they were in Babylon, And they are there for 70 years. And Isaiah records their complaint before the Lord. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40. When the Israelites were in captivity, these were their questions for God. God, is our way hidden from you? We're your chosen people. Is our way hidden from you? Do you not hear? Do you not know what's going on? Are you not concerned about our situation down here? Inferring that, God, aren't you going to do anything about it? Abraham and Sarah struggled with that. God had promised Abraham, Abraham and you, I will bless all the nations of the world. I will give you a land. I will give you a seed. I will give you a son. And you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And Abraham receives this promise, as does Sarah. And then Abraham, 20 years after the promise, nothing happens, no son. And so he says, God, Eliezer, my servant, he's going to have to be my heir because there's no heir here. And God says, Abraham, look at the sky, look at the stars. How many of them are there? Your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky. Wait on me. Trust me. They had a hard time trusting. What happened when they didn't trust and wait on the Lord? Did not turn out well. Ishmael and Israel and Jacob, Ishmael and Isaac are still fighting today in the Middle East. Here's a really important principle for us. During a season of waiting, just because it seems like nothing is happening does not mean God is not at work. When it seems like, is there anything going on? Oh, God is at work. Trust Him. Wait on Him. Personally in your life, you may feel like, God, have you forgotten me? Corporately, as a church at First Baptist Church, God, what's going on? What are you doing in this transition period of time? God, are you at work? God is always at work. And at this very moment in your life personally, whatever you're going through, in our life together as a church, God is engineering our situation to provide His very best for you and for us. Look what He says in Ephesians. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know what we need to do in a situation while we are waiting? We need to pray Ephesians 3:20. Oh, Lord, would you do more than we can imagine and even think? Would you do an incredible work in our midst? A third thing that I've observed about waiting on the Lord and seeking the Lord and being still before Him is that waiting on God is active waiting. If you flip over, right, in Psalm 37, it talks again about waiting on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 34, it says, wait for the Lord and keep His way. So He's not saying just wait on the Lord and do nothing. What is He saying? Wait on the Lord. That attitude of, I'm surrendered, God. Do what you want to do. I'm waiting on you. I'm trusting you. I believe and trust in your goodness. I'm waiting on you. and I'm doing what you want me to do. I am keeping your way. You may be wondering, well, what does God want me to do during this waiting time? Am I supposed to sit around and do nothing? Absolutely not. Waiting on God simply means that you continue in your present position, faithfully serving and loving Him until He gives you further instruction. He will give you the next assignment. As long as you're obeying Him now in the presence, as you wait on Him, you will continue on the correct course. What is the application for us as a church family during this time of waiting on the Lord, a time of transition? It is not a time to do nothing. It is a time to be in active waiting. What we are doing in coming and worshiping together, lifting up our praise to God, is very important. Coming together and, you know, as we're starting the fellowship time together, just gathering together and being together in fellowship and encouraging one another, seeing how your week is going, praying for one another, having that time, extended time together, is so important. That's one of the four pillars of a healthy church, is prayer and the Word and the fellowship together and the breaking of bread together. What we're doing with GOMA, still being involved in impacting the world. And for us, it's kind of simple, but it's a beautiful thing. We're being the church when we do things like that, ministering to a brother all the way across the world. When you pray for our frontline kids and we send them out and we pray for them, and some of you have brought cookies, and there's going to be an avalanche of cookies, and I'll have to admit, I did go in and I tried a couple of them out this week, just saying, because it's really important that they're healthy cookies for the kids. But just doing that, praying for our kids, that's active waiting. You know, as we're looking at, in Good News Club, we're looking at having another family night out, parent night out. It was so popular last year, they were asking, when are you going to do this again? We're going to do it again in April because we want to minister to our community. We want to show these parents, man, we love your kids. We love you. We are the church. Women, what you're doing in women's ministry, men, as you guys are meeting together, we're gathering together and we're growing together. And that's what God wants us to do. My question for us is where does God want to use you for your gift here in the body of Christ? What is He calling you to do? It was really neat this week. A couple people came out to me and said, hey, I want to do something. So I met with them, and a couple of them are checking out some areas where they might minister and be involved. And another person said, hey, I want to come and just serve in the church. What can I do? And so they came here Saturday, and I don't know if you noticed, but the pencils are in the pews, and there's cards, and there's encouragement cards, and they've been restocked. And this person said, I just want to come and serve. Oh, yeah. It's those little things. They all add up. What has God called you to do? What has He called us to do during this waiting period as we wait on the Lord? He's called for us individually and collectively as a church to actively wait on God. We are our search committee for youth pastor, worship person. We need to be, what can we do? If you're not on the committee, you know, you can do it, you can pray. God, would you be preparing that person, who that person would be for our church? As we go through the church assessment, thank you for filling that out so that we can get a sense of where are we? What are our strengths? What do we need to work on? Your participation in that is really, really important. When we have the focus groups and do all of that, and then right now praying, God, would you be preparing the heart? Would you be stirring within the heart of a pastor who would be a good fit for us, and that we again will be the church that you want us to be in the community of Ashland? That is active waiting. And that's what God is calling us to do. Personally, I know what God's assignment is for me. He's made it really clear right now. Dwayne, you be here in an interim position. You shepherd our people. Preach the word. Love on people. Share good news. Brandon and I had a chance to invite someone to come today, and we're just reaching out to people. You know, that's what we're going to do. Be used of God. One of the things I feel like God wants me to do, and I'm going to start it up probably in April, is during the 9 o'clock hour, we're just going to take some time. I'm going to have some discussion questions from the previous week's sermon. We're going to just gather together to have some fellowship in the Word, and we're going to talk about the sermon. I want your input, and we can talk about that, and how can we grow from that. And then I want to take some time during that time to just say, okay, folks, let's stop. And we're going to take some time to pray together, maybe in small groups, maybe together, but we're going to pray. What does God's people do? We gather together to encourage one another and to pray. This is a season to actively wait on God, and one of the things that we can do is gather together and pray. And we're going to do that on Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock. Why? Because look at the next principle. While we actively wait, God actively works. Last question. Why does God often ask us to wait on Him? Why does He do that? You know, if you think through it, you think through all the scriptures, and you think of all the people who had to wait on God, we could be here all day listening to them. I wrote a few. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Hannah, David, Jonah, David, Israelites, 40 years in the desert, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Paul, disciples, Jesus. The New Testament church. They all had to wait on God. Why? Abraham, I just mentioned to you, waiting 25 years, nothing happened. God's going to bless us, and now I'm almost 100 and Sarah's 90. There ain't no way. And God says, trust me, Abram. Why does God ask us to wait on Him? It's because we learn some of life's greatest lessons while we wait. Waiting rooms can be hard classrooms, but they are necessary classrooms where we develop our trust in God. It's where we learn in that classroom, where we learn to obey God. It's where we learn to not depend on ourselves. It is in the waiting room that we grow the most. Is it enjoyable? Not always, but it's the best. Right now, you individually, us certainly together, are in the waiting room of God. But He's got a plan for us. He's got a work He's going to do. We're to actively wait on Him. So, one of the most difficult lessons that you and I will learn is to be still before the Lord and wait on God. However, it is crucial that you and I understand how truly important waiting on Him is. Don't underestimate the importance of being in that waiting room. Because there's another life principle. This is powerful. And this is from Isaiah 64:44. God acts on those who wait for Him. God acts on those who wait for Him. Do you believe that? Here's what Isaiah 64 says. And it was Israel talking about God. It says, listen to this. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside You, O God, listen, who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. There is no other God out there. No man-made God, Allah, any other God that's out there. There is no other God on the face of the planet, in all the universe,
who acts on behalf of those who wait on Him. And I love the last little piece of that verse. God, you come to help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. Our God, Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, the God who has given us and sent us Jesus Christ, the God who rules over the universe, the God who loves you, His church, is the only God who will act on behalf of those who wait on Him. When you remember Him in the waiting room, He comes to help. Oh, that you and I in this season, that we would be still before the Lord and that we would wait patiently for Him. We're in the waiting room. God is going to move. Father, I want to thank you for that incredible truth. That, Lord, you will act on behalf of those who wait on you. We would confess to you, Father, that we're not really good at being still before you and waiting on you. Lord, our world is so full of noise. Lord, teach us to be still. Teach us to get into your presence. And then, Lord, teach us to wait on you. Thank you, Lord, for the waiting room. It is difficult, Lord, but it is necessary. And Father, would you help us as we go through personal things in our lives? That God, you would help us in that waiting room to wait on you, knowing that you're working. Lord, would you remind us, Lord, I need to be actively waiting. God, use me right now where I'm at, using the gifts and who I am for your glory. And that, God, you would move and work in the course of our church. Lord, you love this, your church. You love us, Lord. And, Lord, we want to commit to waiting in that waiting room for you on behalf of our church. We will pray. We will seek you, Lord. We will be about doing your work as we wait. Trusting that, God, you're going to move. You're on the move now, and you will continue to be. Oh, Lord, we will rest in you. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, powerful psalm, for your word for us today. Lord, we respond now by just lifting up praise to you, our great God and King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's be your name. be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
You know, what a joy it is to be with you, to worship the Lord together, to hear you singing praise to the Lord and lifting up that joyful noise to the Lord and taking to heart these truths this week. You know, I encourage you. It's not necessarily going into your closet. I mean, we need those times where it's quiet for the Lord, but you can have those little times where you're quiet for the Lord as you're driving in your car. It's just a moment in time you say, oh, Lord, thank you. I'm resting in you. Just as you're driving along, or as you're walking down the street, as you're at school, it's wherever you're at, you can still have that time where you're just resting in the Lord and you're quiet before the Lord. Just before you go into that job interview or whatever else you're doing, you can have that all day long. If you need prayer, you're saying, you know, I need to pray for me right now. Tim and Kathy want to meet with you. They would love to pray for you and just lift you up before the Lord. You can do that, okay? This week, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You do that, you will be so blessed. God is at work. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your promise, Lord, that You work in the hearts of people as they wait on You. You're that kind of God, Lord. You are personal. And You are at work. You love this, Your church. You love us individually, Lord, and You will work. Oh, Lord, how You want us just to wait on You patiently for You to move in Your timing and in Your way. Lord, help us to seek Your face this week, for we are Your children. You are our God. We worship You. Dismiss us now, Lord, in Your grace and in Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. Next week, PK will be here. No prayer tonight at 5 o'clock. Some of us are going to be leaving town, and so we'll see you next Sunday. Lord bless you.
Hey, have a good day.
patient, love is kind. Never fail.